Good morning. Welcome to Victor Valley Christian Church. If you're visiting with us this morning, we are so glad that you are here. Those of you from last week, we kind of worked out a little bit. You know, it was kind of our first week of one service. In our life group the week before, one of the guys, there's only two of us, so he knows who he is, very anonymous, said, "So what do you guys expect this weekend?" And we're like, "I don't know." Sometimes it's fun to throw a party and not know who's going to show up. Have you ever done that? And you guys were great last week, and we're so glad you're here this morning. And Rick's sitting in the back row, so I guess Jeremy kind of bothered him a lot. If you're here last week, you got that message. Now, as we begin this morning, I want to just say, if you're staying for Al's class afterwards, and if you're not, I encourage you to. It is awesome. He used this thing last week of Mona Lisa and the way we see Scripture, and that doesn't make sense to you, but if you were here last week, it does. It does, doesn't it? Those of you who were here last week, was that not an awesome time? That was awesome time. I want to encourage you, if you've not planned to stay home for that, I encourage you just to come to that today after church. And if you do and you have children, we've kind of adjusted that a little bit, just so you know. So you don't have to check your kids out this week. You just have to go over there and check them in, even though they're already there. And I suppose that's supposed to make sense. And we just want to know where your kids are because we love you and we don't want your kids to be out and about. And I know for some of you that's okay. I mean, if you're the Keatleys, that's a great thing. That sounds like a normal day. But if you're visiting with, amen, Susan, hallelujah. But if you're not the Keatleys, which I love madly, you might want to just make sure they know who your kids are. And so check them in. I hope I didn't mess that up. Sorry, Shane and everyone involved. You're going to go back there. Now, as we prepare today, hello, I want to ask you a question. I want you to think in terms of a wedding. Right now, I want you to think of the coolest wedding you've ever been to. Now, if you're married, turn to your spouse and say, "Ours." Do that right now. There you go. Got to get some points for you. But I want you to think, have you ever gone to a strange or different wedding? I've gone to some real weird weddings in my life. My old roommate, Jim, his wedding was 9 minutes long. He literally said, "People are coming to see me talk. They're coming to have cake." So, and he was a man of faith, and it was a church wedding. They literally walked down. Everybody turned around. The pastor basically said, "Do you? Yes, I do. Do you? Yes, I do. You did. Kiss. Go." Every man in that room was so happy. And every woman was like, "What? I want to hold his hand. We want to say our vows again." It was beautiful. It was gorgeous. I went to another wedding. One of my former students, I'm a drama teacher, and years ago, she kind of became a B celebrity, and she was marrying this other celebrity. So Tammy and I went to this wedding where we literally were in this weird building in L.A. You had to drive around it 3 times. And then they saw you, and they say, "Are you coming here?" I was like, "Yeah." I mean, this wedding was filled with celebrities. I'm sitting on the aisle, and I'm not joking. As the wedding starts and we're looking forward, all of a sudden, there is a full-grown chimpanzee standing right next to me. It was the ring bearer because he'd made a movie with the monkey. Those things are much bigger when there are not bars between you. You know? I was like, well, maybe he saw a family resemblance. I don't know. But he stopped and he looked right at me, and I got scared. I was like, "Is this monkey's going to go 2000 just start?" It was weird. It was weird. But it was a wedding, and it was a ceremony just like you've been to, and there were vows said, and there were things said that sometimes we hear one way, and this morning I want to change your mind a little bit. The idea when you go to a wedding, things are said that are important to us today as we gather together. I went to one wedding when we lived in Kenya. This will be the last wedding story. It was awesome. We went to Mary's wedding, and she was a Kikuyu, and it was full like this. And the pastor got to the part, and I know they don't do this anymore, so if you're young, we used to do this in weddings where they would say, "If there's anyone here that doesn't believe these two should be wed, speak now or forever, hold your peace." And normally the pastor will say that and then go right on. This pastor said that and sat down for 2 minutes. Like, anyone? Anyone? And it was kind of interesting because when he did that, I was like, wow, they're taking their vows kind of seriously. So I want you to keep in mind that idea of a wedding. And if you have your Bible, I want you to open up, or if you have your device, or get the Bible in front of you, it will be on the screen as well. I want you to open to John chapter 17, because that's where we're going to spend some time. We'll be in some other scriptures, but I just want you to know we're going to spend some time in John chapter 17. And we're going to start in verse number 20 and go 21 through 23. Listen to that noise. That's such a wonderful noise. Now, as you do that, if you're not familiar with this part of the Bible and you open it up, you might notice there's a lot of red writing in there, and that's strictly because these are the words of Jesus. And John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17 are basically Jesus' directions. He prays for us. He encourages us. He comforts his disciple. The Holy Spirit coming is in the middle of this. And if you look at the book of John, in chapter 13, they have the Last Supper. And in chapter 18 is when he gets arrested. So this is kind of his last time when he shares. And in the middle of this section, towards the end of it actually, in John chapter 17, he says these words that in your Bible should be in red. He says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those. He's praying, by the way. So this is a prayer. It's in the middle of a prayer. And if you have the NIV, he says, my prayer is for these. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Verse 22, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Now, if you're not familiar with the Bible, that almost sounds like I Am the Walrus from the Beatles. And I'm not discounting what's said, but those words sometimes can get a little confusing. There's a lot of repetition in there. There's a lot of I in you and you in me. And again, an advertisement for Al's class afterwards, because the mind-blowing experience I had with this chapter came from sitting around a room with Al and Jeremy and Tammy and Neil, and we were talking about messages. And when we got to this verse that Jeremy, the section that Jeremy wanted us to go through, and by the way, if you're visiting with us, our pastor was back there playing the drums in the very first song. So we're back there going, he's like, I'm kind of uncomfortable. I'm saying, well, I'm uncomfortable too. This is awesome. But Jeremy was talking, and this lit my eyes up so much that Jeremy just said, you have to do this. I said, okay. I got this, because in Al's class, we learned that Scripture is here, but there's a depth to it, and there's a depth to these verses if we understand how in the first century they heard these. It just gets cool. I mean, the Bible is so incredible that every time you read it, it just becomes like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, and this was one of those experiences, because Jeremy asked Al, he said, so what would the first century person think of that? And I want you to keep in mind when you're thinking about what you're doing after church today. Just keep that in mind. Let's look at verse number 20. First of all, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word. Jesus is praying for you and me. He says, I'm not asking just for this group around me, but Father God, I am asking for those who believe in their word. And those words of Jesus echo through the universe, because that's you and me. Because how do we believe? Through their word. He's praying for you and for me. He's saying, God, this is what I want. This is my desire. If you've ever heard someone really pray, you know that's what's on their hearts. If you sat with me, you sat with my wife, you sit with my friends, when we really pray, when we earnestly sit there and say, Father God, that's our innermost desire. And this then becomes these following words, Jesus' desire. Jesus, it's so amazing to think the idea that Jesus is praying for us. Us then, us now, us until he returns. So if you're sitting in this room, Jesus Christ has prayed for you. That's kind of cool. Jesus prayed for, he thought of me. And sometimes we forget that. But what does he pray for? Look at verse 21. That they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they may also be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me. Now, this is where it gets kind of different. This is what blew my mind when Al said this. And I say that because I didn't look this up and have this spiritual revelation. Oh, this This was said to me by an individual who knows the scripture. And he said, and Jeremy said, so Al, what would they think of? What does this really mean? I and you and me. And Al gave this illustration. He said, in the first century, when they heard this, the idea was being complete. The idea was that was separated becoming one and complete. And this is where it gets cool. He said, look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 through 24, and you'll understand what Jesus is talking about here. And if you have your Bibles, I would turn to that. Genesis. This is mind-blowing to me. This is where I went, oh my goodness. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 through 24. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And that rib that the Lord had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And look at verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Again, a wedding. I know sometimes we go to a wedding and we hear verses and we go, wasn't that nice that Jesus and God wrote the wedding in the Bible? I actually have students and I have people say, where's the wedding part of the Bible in here? And it's not in here, the wedding part, because we have taken the word of God and sometimes we quantify. Well, that's a great wedding verse. But what happened was, just so you know, was man was made. And I'm not trying to blow any feminists' appeal here, but man was made. And his name isn't Adam, his name was man, but Adam is what we get for human. And then when God looked at, and this concept is deep, when God looked at man and said, it's not good that you're alone, he took from man and made woman. Do you see the visual? He took from man and made woman. And then when man and woman come together, they become complete. That one flesh. Jeremy, a while ago when we did the marriage, they showed you those Hebrew words. And if you weren't here, it was an amazing time. By the way, be here on a Sunday. There's some cool things that happen. I'm serious. And some of you are saying, what? In the Hebrew literature, and I'm not good like they are, these guys. But in the Hebrew literature, when you take what means man and when you take what means woman and you put them together, it becomes complete with God in the middle. And a lot of times we take this verse, this flesh verse, and go, oh, that's the physical relationship. That's the intimate, spiritual, and social idea of being complete. Now let's jump back to John. Let's jump back to that verse number 20. I do, that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us. You see, the relationship we have with Jesus is amazing. You see, Jesus tells us right here that he desires the most intimate relationship with us. Jesus desires for you the most intimate relationship. Did you hear the worship this morning? Father, I lay my adoration. When we hear the wedding bells, did you hear that idea that when we love Jesus, it's as deep and as intimate as a husband and wife? But here's the weird part. This is what blew my brains. He's also talking about not just me. I know in America, when you read the word you in Scripture, you think me. He's saying us. Look around. Look around. This is us. This is who Jesus was talking about. Jesus wants us. We are the bride of Christ. That's an amazing idea, that we are the bride of Christ. And I know we hear those words. I know we heard last week shared, we are the body of Christ. And we hear that we are the body. But how many times do we go, no. We are the body of Christ. We're going through the series of becoming one because look over, we are the body of Christ. These are your brothers and sisters. We're basically married to one another. Don't say. But I want to blow your mind because how many times have I read these letters that were written to groups of people and I think he's writing it to me. And yes, there's an individual relationship. I'm not getting away from that. But sometimes we forget when we get together, there is the power. In Acts, when was the power there? When was the power moving? When they were what? Together. There is power. When we sang a little while ago, and I'm sitting back there, I'm going, oh, it blows my mind, the power. And sometimes we forget that Jesus desires that most intimate relationship with us. He desires that we are the bride of Christ. Now, some of you might say, well, I don't know how deep we want to go with this, but that is so scripturally found in the Old Testament. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I shared with Lee earlier, Yokerson, that because Lee and I were talking about this a couple of months ago when I first got this concept. Sometimes when I get stuff, there's a couple of you, I go, look at this. And they're like, yeah, I know. And then look at this. And Lee and I were talking, and I'm going to use a bad word in just a second, but it's in the Bible, so that's okay. In Jeremiah chapter 3, the children of Israel had gone away from God. God, had, if you don't know, God brings them into this promised land and says, I am your God, you are my people. As long as we're that way, we're cool. And many like us, many of the children of Israel said, you know, I like those other gods. And they do that when they worship. And they don't necessarily have to go just to the temple. And that God promised me this. And eventually the children of Israel just fell into idolatry. And don't we live in a world now of idolatry? You don't need to read the news, my friends. Read the Old Testament. There is nothing new under the sun. It's the same thing. And in the middle of this, God finally says, the only way I can tell you how truly upset I am with you is to kick you out of the land. And there are these great relationships and these great ideas. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 6, and it won't be up on the board, but it's in your notes, the reference to this. This is what Jeremiah writes in chapter 3, verse 6. The Lord said to me in the days of King Joash, have you seen what she did, that faithless one, Israel, how she went up on every high hill and under every green tree and there played the whore? When God's looking at the children of Israel, he says, you are my bride. Why are you out on every hill? And again, those would be the places where they would worship other gods on high places. He's saying, my bride, where have you gone? What are you doing to me? God looked at them and said, why are you being this way? The next couple of verses in there, he says, and then Judah saw it, did the same thing. He loves us so much, but he also loves us so much. And there's power when we're together. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 1, thus says the Lord, again, talking to the children of Israel, where is your mother's certificate of divorce with which I sent her away? Divorce. Of which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? The entire book of Hosea, the Old Testament is awesome. In the Old Testament, God would sometimes have the prophets do the weirdest things. In Hosea, he tells Hosea the prophet, go out, marry a prostitute, and tell the children of Israel, this is our relationship. And so he does that, and they have kids. And then she goes away, and God says, now, go buy her back. Even then, God buying us back. The book of Ezekiel, he talks the same idea. As a matter of fact, he gets so strong that in Ezekiel, he's told, your wife is going to die. And you mourn for her. You mourn out loud for her because just like my bride has left me, so she will leave you. And the fulfillment of your eyes will be gone. And that's what it's like when the children of Israel are gone. So this concept of the bride of God and the relationship we have together as a unity is found throughout the Bible. Even in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, Paul is talking to some people and he finally says, I feel a divine jealousy for you. Since I betrothed you to one husband... Let me read that again. For I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. We are the bride. So I want you to start thinking about that when you come on Sunday morning. I want you to start thinking about what kind of house do you want this to be? Now, I've often said this. I think denominations are an abomination in some ways. To be quiet, think of the power the church would have if the entire church were one. Think of that. Think of the power if all the churches in the high desert were one. Think of the financial resources we would have. Think of the ideas we would have. Think of the love we could share. Think of the compassion that we would have. Think of how we could say in our schools, because all the Christian teachers would know who all the Christian teachers are. And be like, what church you go to? Oh, I know what church you go to. You go to my church. But we can't do that. We can't fix that. So we can at least fix this. And it doesn't need to be fixed. I'm not telling you this is what you have to do. I'm encouraging you because this is who you are. But we need to start thinking as Victor Valley Christian Church, kind of why we're doing one service. We are the body. We are the bride. Let us make this room every Sunday morning, as many of you do, a place where someone from the outside finds love. A place where we love each other. I want you to think about your childhood for a second. In my neighborhood, we had one. Was there ever a house where all the kids wanted to hang out? It wasn't my house, believe me. I'm just like my dad, so it wasn't my house. But there was that one house where we knew that's where the cookies were. That's where the couch I could sit on with my feet up. That's the place where I could go. That's what this place needs to be. That's what we are. We are the bride of Christ. We're surrounded by love. We're here so that those of you who have friends and family and spouses who don't really want to come to church have a place to come for love. I mean, think how often that people go outside looking for love, looking for acceptance. I mean, years ago, I bought a motorcycle before I met my wife, and after I met it, she said, no motorcycle, so I got rid of it. But years ago, I remember having a motorcycle thinking, well, hey, I could go to certain bars now. I didn't go to bars. I'm sorry, that's not who I am. I wouldn't know what to order, and I didn't have any leather, so I'm sure I would have been beat up. And my motorcycle was not made in America. It was a Yamaha, so I'm sure there was death waiting for me. But think about that. How many times we look. My students are addicted to Facebook. Why? Because that's where people say, I like you. My students are addicted to Snapchat. Why? Because that's where people accept their silly pictures of themselves. I want to be texted. I want to be Facebooked. I want to be Instagrammed. I want someone out there to say, I like me. I like you. You know? That's why Facebook doesn't have a don't like button. I'm sure I would use it too much, don't like. But think of how we as a society so much want to be loved. And Jeremy shared this last week, and you've heard him say this over and over again. We so much want to be a part of a group. Let's make this a place for our unbelieving families, for our unbelieving friends, for our unbelieving world. Now, I love Greg's worship. I think it's awesome. I love when Jeremy shares. I think it's awesome. But let's be quite honest. You may not invite a friend to hear music about Jesus because they don't know Jesus. And you say, well, I don't know if they're going to like the Bible. So I don't know if I'm going to. But would you not invite them to a room where they were going to be massively loved? Yeah, we would. Wouldn't it be awesome that I know, and it does happen. And for those of you who are visiting with us, I'm not judging those who are sitting here. I'm just encouraging you. This morning, someone told me I had to put my name tag in a different place. There are people in this room that hug me, and I hate hugs. But I don't hate theirs. It's amazing. There are people in here who know what I've been through, and they've been through too. There are people that when I went through the greatest hurt I had, there was someone in this room I could say, wow, I always thought it sucks to be you. Now it sucks to be us. But it's us. And when you come here every Sunday morning, there's a reason we want you here. There's a reason we want you in life groups. Not because the numbers make Tammy happy or the Sunday morning numbers make Greg happy. The elders have even said, we don't care about numbers right now. We care about disciples. And disciples will take care of numbers. But we want you to experience what we get to experience in this room. And I just want to encourage you to maybe open up your brain. I mean, it's hard right now. There's not 7 seats between you and your friend. And if you went to second service, you had 10. Right? Now you're like, oh my gosh, you're right here. Because they are the bride of Christ and their power. And just so you know, the last 2 weeks, you've sung awesome. You've sung amazing. When I was up here on Easter, I could actually hear through the in-ears. The musicians have to wear these monitors so they can hear what they're saying. And I could hear you. And my soul was lifted up. When you sing, you lift your neighbor up. And now it's easier because they're right next door. Now, there will be people who don't like this. I understand. There are people who want their space. I go to the movie 3 weeks after it's released on a Thursday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon because I want to watch Star Wars and know nobody else there. But in this place, when there is love, we are the bride of Christ. I want you to start thinking in terms of that. When Jesus says to you, you know, you and me and I and you, we need to make this place, that's what we're studying. We're going to be studying unity the next several weeks. Come to the Sunday morning as you would come to your bride. Now, I know that's scary for some of you. I mean, imagine what my relationship would be if I went home and I said to Tammy, all right, Tammy, take care of my needs. That wouldn't go well. She does, but if I told her to, it wouldn't be quite as fun. But sometimes I come on Sunday morning and I put this pressure on Jeremy, or I put this pressure on Greg, or I put this pressure on that right person. Greet me the right way, sing the right way, love me the right way, say the right words. But in truth, I'm not here for me, because I am the bride of Christ. So as you drive on Sunday morning, I encourage you, and I know many of you do this, just drive, come, and I'm going to see the bride today. I'm going to life group, and I don't care if they make those dumb gluten-free cookies, I'm going to eat them anyways. And nobody's made, I've had no, but do you see what I'm saying? The problem is I say these things like Jeremy, and then all of a sudden your head pops up, the person who's there going, you're talking about, no, I'm not. I am not. But I want to encourage you, when you come to the church, when we come together, let us come and say, I'm here to love you. I don't know how you can miss a Sunday morning and think it doesn't matter. I don't know how you could miss a life group and think it doesn't matter. And if it doesn't, then we need to love you more and you need to come loving us more. I'm just being honest with you. This is the place, Jesus said. I and you and me, the body of Christ. I want from them an intimate relationship. Yes, we have it by ourselves as well. But he says right there in John, this is what I want, that they may be one, just as you, think of the wedding, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us. That's important. Now, if I went home to my house and said, you know, and Tammy said to me, take care of my needs, well, that's how it would really be. That's how it has to be. I have to walk into my house. And I know, not all the time am I a great husband. I'm sure of it. I couldn't tell you a time I haven't been one. But sometimes we come to the church and I know we don't have all the love we need. That's when the rest of us love you. There are times when I come to Sunday morning and I say, I just want to sit in the back because the way my week is or whatever happened, you have no idea what I have. That's when I need to be here to be loved by you. And you do love me. There are people in this congregation that every Sunday love me and they don't even know. It's a smile. It's a glance. There are some of you that have gone to church with me now for 20 years. Thank you. Thank you. There are those of you who I see, it's just a casual word. Thank you. But there are others that need you, and you need others. This needs to be the place. Get inside of a life group. Not because, well, why do you want me in a life group? Because Jesus said, I and you and me, and when we're together, there's nothing that can stop us. I know this isn't the American idea of church. The American idea of church is, I can do it by myself. We actually had a visitor on Easter morning. I'll get to this really quickly. And if you're this visitor, I praise Jesus that you're back. Probably won't ever come back again. But the card, if you're visiting with us this morning, we're glad that you're here. But one card that Tammy got, because she cannot contact with people afterwards, basically the response was, hey, I'll come when I want to. Don't bother me. We're not bothering you. We're loving you. We know what you need. Because we need it just as much as you do. I want to encourage you. Make this place a beautiful place. Have you ever been in a place where a husband and wife aren't getting along? Yeah, don't look at your spouse now. Have you ever been in a place where the family wasn't getting along? Where you could just kind of want to say, could we just get along here? Years ago when I was a youth minister in Anaheim, and I say that so that you don't think it was anyone here because it wasn't, but in Anaheim, Tammy and I would hang out with our other associate pastor and his wife. We had a great time until Pictionary came out. And then all of a sudden, it always became about the squirrel. Because one time, he drew a squirrel, and she didn't get it. And I remember Tammy and I going, I don't want to be here. That's not the kind of house that we have here at Victor Valley Christian Church. Praise God. Praise God. That's not the house we have here. We have a house where people want to be here. We have a place, and if you're visiting this morning or you're here casually, I encourage you, get here and love other people. We are one church with one love. Now, why? Let's finish with these things really quickly. John chapter, we'll start at verse 21 again, John chapter 17. That they may be in one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Again, that repetition. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me, and love them as you have loved me. You see, Jesus wanted unity in his body for more than just what it gives you and me. The world will know he is true by our unity. He says it right there. So the world may know. So the world may know that you love them. It's in our unity. Our unity becomes a testament to the rest of the world that he's real to me. That's kind of weird. Real to us. See, I even use me. Silly, it's us. If you come in this room and we're loving one another, you come into my life group and we're loving one another, well, you may not want that, but we're going to give it to you anyways. And I will tell you, this world is filled with hurting people who would like to know there's at least one true love out there. Maybe you're in here this morning and you come from a house or a family and you go, I just want to be loved. That's what this is for. That's who we are. That's what Jesus wants from us. That they may become one flesh. I want to encourage you this morning just to keep that idea in your mind as you come to Sunday morning. The world will know when I love. I mean, I'm a teacher, and so many teacher friends I have are so full of hate, so full of anger, you know, so willing to judge because they don't know what love is. But Jesus says, I want them, Father. My prayer, my desire for them is that they may be one. And my encouragement as we go out to the world and as we come together with one idea. When you drive here next Sunday, when you go to life group, when you come in here, I want you to come and say, I am here to love other people. What's really cool now is we get the volunteers to pray before you guys show up, if they're volunteering, because they're out, and we offer them communion, because they're out, you know, doing the kids, doing the young kids, doing the youth, doing all that, doing everything that, like, you know, your section leaders, everybody doing it. This room is, there's so many people here. Tammy got an email last week from someone who said, I couldn't believe there are so many people who it takes to do a service, because they love you. They greet you because we love you. You greet because you love. You stand out in the middle of that sidewalk and greet people as they walk in because you love. When it's 30 degrees outside, you're parking us because they love. I don't take care of your little children because I love. But you do. You see, that's where we become the body. I'm going to come this morning and I'm going to love. I'm going to love the only way I know how. I'm going to shake a hand. I'm going to hug. And again, don't hug me, but I'm going to hug. I'm going to say hello. I am going to greet that person that I don't even know their name because I've got so many other things in my head, so I don't know your name, don't look at me, don't look. No. Hey, it's good that you're here. I'm glad you're here. Just by saying hello to someone. I sit up in my classroom and greet my kids when they walk in, and they don't know what to do. Hey, Joe, how's your day? Fine. They don't know. They're not used to being greeted. They're not used. Let's make this the place where we fulfill Jesus' desire. I want to close with the scripture. And if you have your Bible, it'll be up here. I want to close with the scripture. And then I'm going to close with a little saying that I keep on my phone because I need desperately. If you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 7. I'm sorry, chapter 15, verse 1 through 7. And I know, like Tammy, I know my wife, she likes to keep these little sayings as she gets ready in the morning. I can tell what my wife is going through by what worship song she's listening to. I can tell what my wife is going through by what verse pops up on her iPad or what thing she sits before her. You know, if country music is playing, she's doing okay. If worship music is playing, we're going to talk. Because that's, she just says, I just need more of that right now. And I want to encourage you to keep this section of scripture in your brain as you come to church on Sunday morning, as you go to life group, as we get together. And again, I'm not saying this because you're not doing this. I'm saying this because you've done it to me so many times, and I want to do it for you. And if you're visiting with us or if you're new, I just want to encourage you, we need to care for one another. Jeremy said last week, it's hard after he spoke to go down in the middle because there's so many of you hugging each other. Oh my goodness, that's awesome. I'm going to say this, you're going to get mad at me, but when we love each other, it's better than beer. It's better than it's better than anything else because it's complete and it's real. It's better than any internet search I have to do or any person I have to flirt with or any Instagram or like I need. When we love each other, it is the core of who God is. Remember that prayer, I and them, and that they may be perfectly one so that the world may know. Romans chapter 15, verse 1 through 7. We who are strong have an obligation to bear the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. Again, Romans 15, chapter 1 through 7. Let us each please his neighbor for his good to build him up. Now, when you hear that, you think of neighbor living next door. No, look at each other. That's your neighbor. These would have been their believing brothers and sisters they're talking about. That's their neighbor. For Christ did not please himself, but it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. It takes endurance. It takes encouragement. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we hear that and we hear glorify and we think that's singing. No, that's the whole thing. Worship is something we do all the time and you all know that. I know. I just want to encourage you. And if you look at that and say, well, I sang, but when we love one another. We'll finish with verse 7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Let's look at this one service as a chance for us to love one another in such a new and strong way that the world says, what's going on there? That we say to our neighbor, hey, you should come to my church. Why? Because we love each other. Hey, you're hurting. Why? Because we love each other. And when you're hurting, you know this isn't the place to run to because you got to hide your scars. This is a place you come to because this is where the scars get healed. That's an amazing idea. We become the hospital for those who are hurting. And we are, and you are, and you have been in my life for so many years. And I just want to encourage you, let's continue doing that. On the back of your bulletin, and it might be hard for you to read, I want to close with this. And again, I have this bookmarked on my phone. I need to read this all the time because one of the things that being a good husband does, one of the things that being a good father does, that being a good brother, that being a good Christian, it takes humility, does it not? To go to my wife and say, you're more important than I am. The world doesn't say that. And when I've had a bad day, that's not always my attitude. And when life isn't going well or I'm tired or bitter, that doesn't always come out of me. What comes out of me is that selfish animal that, hey, take care, I need this. But sometimes I'll just go to my phone where this is bookmarked and I just read this. And you may, Romans 15, go to that. John, go to this. But for some of you, this might be helpful. This is called the Litany of Humility. It was written by Cardinal Mary Duval back around 1900. And he would say this prayer. And in their church, this is one of those prayers they have. And if you need a prayer just to kind of reset your mind, I encourage you to take this home. Now you might say, I almost said Mr. Grable like I was a teacher. Because I always say, you might say, Mr. Grable, this is a dumb assignment. Well, it's not, so neener. But you might take this and go, well, there, and this isn't scripture. That's fine. But I know for me, this is a massive encouragement. So I'm going to read it for you, and I'm going to read it kind of quickly, but I want you to think, I'm not going to read every deliver me, Jesus, but when I do it by myself, I read that because that gives me a time to like, just Jesus, deliver me. The litany of humility. Oh, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, hear me. From the desire of being esteemed, deliver me. From the desire of being loved, from the desire of being extolled, from the desire of being honored, deliver me. From the desire of being praised, from the desire of being preferred to others, of being consulted, of being approved, deliver me. Those things don't matter. From the fear of being humiliated, from the fear of being despised, from the fear of suffering rebukes, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being culminated, from the fear of being forgotten, of the fear of being ridiculed, from the fear of being wronged, from the fear of being suspected, deliver me, Jesus. You take that attitude in your marriage, you might watch it explode. I take that attitude with my friends and neighbors, I might watch those relationships turn. Instead of Jesus, deliver them so they'll understand who I am. It's like reading the book of Proverbs. You ever read that? And it always says the fool and the wise man. And you always put yourself as the wise man and your enemy is the fool. And then after a while you go, I think I'm the fool. That others may be loved more than I. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be esteemed more than I. That in my opinion, that in the opinion of the world, others may increase as I may decrease. This next one's hard for me. That others may be chosen and I set aside. That others may be praised and I unnoticed. That others may be preferred to me in everything. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may become holier than I, provided that I become as holy as I should. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. And if you're looking at this and saying, why would you ever say this? Because you're a child of God. And he loves you. And when we come together, and when we realize, when Jesus prayed for us in John chapter 17, he was saying, there is power in them. I want them to know us, God. I want them to be a part of us. They are the new bride. The Old Testament, they were the children of Israel. They were his bride. But now we have, through Jesus' blood, been grafted in, as we're told in Romans, to be a part of a bride that, as is always explained in Revelation, will someday sit at the wedding. And we will look upon Jesus and say, you gave us power. And it was in your family I found love. So we're going to close in prayer right now. And I encourage you, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you need prayer. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and saying, I don't get this part of the family. If you've not confessed Jesus, if you've not accepted him as your Lord and Savior, I will tell you, you're outside the family. You may get all the feelings for the family. You're like our friend that comes over for dinner every once in a while. But we want you in our family. We want to sit with you. We want to love with you. We want to grow with you. We need you to love us. And we need to love you. And as we continue on in this session of humility, and we talk about this idea of becoming one, and we talk about unity, I encourage you, just come and say, I am the bride, and I'm going to love someone today, and someone's going to love me. And God, just deliver that into my heart. And I encourage you, if you've not accepted Christ and you'd like to, there will be guys, women, back at those tables as you leave, that will be waiting for you. Say, welcome to the family. I know the baptistry is warm today because we were going to have a baptism, but someone got sick. So actually, before we started, Greg said, hey, Darren, let's go. I said, no, I've already done that. I'm okay. But I encourage you today as we pray and close to think truly, I want to be part of this family. I want to be here when the doors open because this is my family. This is where I am loved. And we ask you and we encourage you to do that. So let's close in prayer. Would you stand with me? Just a reminder as you do that, if you're going to stay for Alice class, and I would, go back there if you have kids and say, hey, my kid's still here. I'm going to Alice class. There was no sign-ups necessary. If you need a life group, if you don't have as much love in your life as you need to, you need a life group. I tell you, I have an incredible life group. We're all getting to know each other. We started meeting in January, and I don't often say this, but when they come to my house is a better place. It's really weird. It's when you're like, it's like they make my house a better place. And I like my house. I'd rather close the doors, but they make my house. Let us make this house a better place. Let's pray. Father God, we just praise your name and your glory. Father God, we just praise you that we are in your family. Father God, I just lift up my brothers and sisters in here. And Father God, I would ask you to bless those in this room, Father God, that are a part of your family, that we would love on one another, that we would appreciate one another. Father God, that we are your bride. Father God, wash us where we need to be washed. Encourage us where we need to be encouraged. Chastise us where we need to be disciplined, Father God. But we come together as your bride and say, may your power be what sustains this church as we go forward. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Have an incredible week.